available at the end of the seminar. Mark will send them round, and also email addresses for any questions that you might have. And then subsequently, if the solution, hopefully the solution is of interest, then we're more than happy to arrange more detailed presentations at a later date. So the objective is really that you get to understand exactly what the solution has to offer. My name, as I said, is Ivan Lloyd. I work for a company called CPS. I've been working implementing Project Server since it came out in 2002, so I've worked with many organizations. And I've also been working with Project Online extensively since that came on the market, which was in March last year. And again, I have a range of customers across all sectors. In the university space, we've been working with organizations such as Oxford, Lincoln, Leeds, and a whole range of other universities already. And there seems to be a great range of take-up with universities looking to Project Online and Project Server for solutions for their IT organization, but also further afield for building services and indeed for smaller business type projects within the organization. So I have a set of slides. I'll talk through those to start, but the main portion of this afternoon will actually be a demonstration. I really want you to actually see the software so you can appreciate it. So what problems do you need to fix? I guess this is the first question. If you're going to take on board a solution like this, there need to be areas within the organization that have problems that need fixing. I've pulled together one slide, and this is a slide of the business challenges that I come across most commonly. I guess in your universities and educational establishments, you'll have your own challenges, but I also suspect that many of you will recognize some of the list I have here. I'm not going to read through all of them because clearly you can do that in your own time. But the ones that I guess I draw attention to, first and foremost, is around visibility. Typically, I work with organizations that have lots of projects. They find it very hard to actually understand exactly how many. They find it hard to understand what the progress is on those projects. Are they on time? Are they on budget? And they also find it hard to understand what they're actually delivering at the end of it. So that's a typical challenge. And I guess another very common challenge that I encounter is resource capacity. Organizations tend to have lots of projects, limited resources, and they need to make sure that the resources they have are fully utilized. They need to understand where the spare capacity is, and indeed where the overloads are so they can resolve them and make sure that resources are aligned to projects within their portfolio that really are going to deliver business value. So that's a couple of challenges I would draw out, but clearly there are lots of others, and I'm sure within your establishments you'll have your own. So what is Project Online? What is it and what does it provide? Well, Project Online is the online version of a toolset that Microsoft has had out called Project Server, which is a toolset for managing your entire portfolio of projects, resources, costs, and so on. The key areas of functionality are described really in this slide, which I will talk through. This is, I guess, the most important one for me because it really sets the scene as to what the toolset is capable of achieving. As I said in earlier on, one of the key business challenges for organizations is visibility. And the problem, the reason for that problem is because typically, although people do manage projects, they tend to do it in a wide range of solutions. So you might have, currently you might have project plans in Microsoft Project or maybe even in Excel. You might have documents stored on your local hard drive, or maybe if all goes well, you might store them on a file share. You might manage your issues and risks in a personal spreadsheet, and you might produce a report once a month in your own format using data that you copy and paste from various places. So typically, yeah, projects are managed, but they're managed disparately, and it's very hard to understand what's going on. So what Project Online does, it takes all of that disparate data and pulls it all together in a central repository. So at the heart of this solution is that centralized cloud-based repository. So that's clearly the circle in the center. So when you subscribe to Project Online, you get that by default, no matter what else you implement. The circles around the side are all the other areas, or all the areas of functionality. Now, when you implement the toolset, you don't have to implement the entire functionality on day one. Although it's available, you don't actually have to turn it on for your user community. So part of your implementation process is to understand where your key business problems are and then implement the functionality that solves those first, and then look to implement further functionality on a staged basis. Going around our daisy wheel, starting on the far right, schedule management, that's really around the fact that instead of having project plans in Microsoft Project on your desktop, they're all stored centrally within the database. The benefit of that is immediate in that if you've got project plans stored centrally, then they're available for people to understand and view. So that corporately, you could, as soon as you start doing this, you can have an overview of every single project in your organization because they're in one place. Also, what we can bring to the party here is we can start standardizing and setting up templates. So that when you create a new project, rather than creating your new project from scratch, there are predefined guidelines and templates in place. And this is great because once you start standardizing and putting templates in place, it means that the knowledge is there across projects, everything's the same, and it also means that when you come to look to reports, it's much more easy to produce a report if you've got a standard. So, schedule management. Cost control, fairly self-explanatory. If you want to get into the detail of controlling costs on your projects, then that's fully supported. From resource-based costing through to task-based costing, and that can all be summarized up through to the project and portfolio level. And you can have everything from your original budget to your current baseline to your forecast to your actuals. So it's the full cost control is enabled. Issue and risk management. Well, that's much more than issue and risk management. That's issues, risks, changes, lessons learned, benefits, all of those standardized pieces of information that you might have stored in a spreadsheet are stored centrally. So if you look at a risk on one project, the format it's held is the same on every other project. And again, once we start doing this, we can start to get a look at our risk exposure across all our projects. Document management makes full use of the SharePoint functionality that the platform is built on. So this is great news. You can store all of your project-related documentation within the toolset. So if you go to a project, not only do you see all the tasks and resources and costs, you see all the deliverable documents associated with it as well. And everything you'd expect is there, version control, check-in, check-out, workflow, all of those things, access control built in. And in fact, just on that note, access control is throughout the toolset. So it comes with default permissions. You can configure them to your organization, and it means that people only see the things that they need to see and are supposed to see. Going around this circle, we've got time reporting. So fully enabled, it is a timesheet system. So if you want to collect your actual hours against your projects, you can do that. And that can be at the project level or at the task level. But it's much wider than that. Instead of just being timesheets on projects, it's actually a full time card if you want. So you can collect actual hours against projects, but also against your non-project work. So business as usual, or training, administration, holiday, sickness, all those types of categories you'd expect. That's fully configurable. And as is the authorization process. So that you can have time cards authorized, the project-related time authorized by the project managers, and the whole time card authorized by the line manager. So that's, again, full functionality. Team collaboration. This is really important, and I guess this is key to the whole cloud world. You can collaborate with every member of your organization. They can have access to the tool set. They can see the things they're supposed to, so they could raise a risk on a project they're working on. They could progress a task if they're working on a task in a project. They could upload the documentation. And I guess that goes wider as well. One of the reasons of the cloud is not just to collaborate internally, but maybe you want to collaborate with some of your suppliers as well. So that's, again, entirely possible to give access to your suppliers to their key pieces of information. Business intelligence reporting, fully built into the tool set is Excel services for generation of management reports. So you can create your own reports, as long as you understand Excel. It's exactly the same principle, but in the cloud. And then also, you could incorporate something like SQL reporting services with a link to your on-premise data repositories for further management reporting if you wanted. Process automation. We have full process automation, so this allows us to workflow all elements of our project. So that could be project initiation, so simply allow someone to create a new business case maybe, have that workflow for approval. Once someone signs it off, it creates the project and assigns the project manager. So simple workflow through to much more sophisticated if you want. Line of business integration, again, self-explanatory, but essentially if you want to start linking your online cloud-based project control solution with other tools, then you can do. Portfolio analytics and selection. I'll show a range of the functionality in the short time we have, but I will definitely show portfolio analytics and selection. This is really exciting. This is around the whole process of making sure that your projects actually align to the business drivers you have. And there's quite a sophisticated process here that allows us to make sure with the money we have and the resources we have that we deliver the most business value. And that process we can run, during our budgeting process, which would be typical. As new projects are brought on board or as someone suggests a new project, you can actually run a scenario so that we can see the impact of that project on the existing portfolio. So if we do this one, what does that mean to the rest? Which ones can't? Program management. Simply that's around the fact that we can summarize information and report information and work at not just project level, but also program and portfolio levels as well. And then the last circle, resource management. The tool set fully supports the ability for you to be able to understand your resource capacity. And this can be both named individuals or generic resources, stroke roles, or teams. So any level of that resource hierarchy. What this means is that we have a centralized database of resources. When projects assign resources, they're drawn from that centralized database. And in simple terms, if project manager A assigns John at the same time as project manager B assigns John, well, then both project managers get to see that John is overloaded. John sees that he's overloaded, and then John's team leader sees he's overloaded, and the PMO and the executives see that there's an overload as well. So you've got then complete visibility of where your resource capacity is, and we'll spend some time showing you through that as well. So that was an extraordinarily quick slide to give you the highlights of the tool set. What I intend to do now is actually run through some of the functionality on actually showing you the tool itself. And then we can come back to a few more slides. And as I say, we will send the slides out. I'm not showing the entire pack, so there are extra slides in there. And there are slides, for example, with screenshots so that although I'll be demonstrating and it's recorded, you can easily refer to the slides for some of the key screens as well. So if you bear with me, what I will now do is just swap over and present the tool set itself. Good. So hopefully everyone can now see project online. So this is the web-enabled version of project. It's I've logged in. I'm looking at some data that we've configured in order to show some examples of data. But when you implement it, basically you configure it or work with a partner to match your requirements. So I've logged in. Everything's driven by these active squares. And clicking on these leads to different ranges of functionality. So for example, if we clicked on reports, that will drill down. And what that will do is open up so that I can get access to reports. So very simple to navigate around. I guess that's very clean, very easy. We're going to start off just setting the scene in a project center. And this screen hopefully will set out exactly what the tool's about. So what I've done is I've opened up. This is all completely access controlled. So I'm only getting to see the elements of data that I'm allowed to see. And what I'm seeing here is a list of all the projects I'm allowed to get access to. Each of these blue lines, or each of these lines I'm hovering across, is actually a project summarized up to its highest level. So for acquisition target analysis, for example, we can see we've got progress on it, we can see when it's due to end, see which project number it is, but also we can see some key performance indicator. So when you log on, you're seeing the information you're allowed to see, and I'm starting to see it in views that are appropriate to me. So I might be in the PMO or maybe in the executive, and really what I'm after is an overview of all my projects and where are they at? Where are the problems? Where do I actually need to focus my attention? So I can see from this view quickly that acquisition target analysis is red in its scheduled performance. So this means it's running late. As far as the amount of work, so effort we're spending on it, it's amber. So again, not doing so well. And then as far as cost, again, amber, not doing too well. We need to focus in on it in a little bit more detail. There are also extra fields here. So just to show you, you've got a whole range of fields. And you can set up whatever views of data you want. So this is a view with three indicators and various other fields, but you can have whatever views you like. And then you make those views available. So you can see we have about 12 views that I could refer to if I wanted to. And at this level, if I find a project that maybe I'm concerned about, I can very easily drill down into it to understand more information. One thing I forgot to say, actually, is these projects have been summarized or grouped against their primary business objectives. So this one's growth, infrastructure, and development. And these, again, are fully configurable. So you might not have primary objectives, but if you do, they might be different to these ones. So list of projects, performance information. We found a project. This is management by exception. We want to get more detail, so we can click on that project. What will happen is it will drill down automatically for us into the detail for that particular project and allow us to, if I just click on the schedule, allow us to get to the detail of the project. So this is showing me the project plan for that project. So I can start to see the detailed performance information very easily online. So whereas in the past I might have had to, I wouldn't have seen probably the performance across all my projects, but even if I could, I might have had to have gone to see the project manager and asked to interpret the project plan with him for him to open it on his desktop. I can actually open it and see the data I need to see. And again, the really nice thing is at this level, same as at the higher level, I get to see information in different views. I've got lots and lots of views. Clearly, you can cut this down for different users, but I might want to see my resource costs against this project. I could click on that view. It would show me the data that I need to see. So configurable views. And you have this nice ribbon up the top here showing us again some key pieces of information about the project. Good. What I want to do is go back up to the higher level. And what I'm going to do is actually create a project just to show you the simplicity of how the tool set works. So we're going to click on new, and that will give us a palette of information. You can set up your own templates. I mentioned this earlier. And a template consists of not just a template project plan, but also a template project site as well. So actually, before I do that, I'm just going to set the scene a little bit further. And we'll go to this project. And I'll just show you, for example, associated with a project plan is a lot more information. So we have a project site for this particular project plan. This is a great area for your team members to collaborate in. It's showing me what we've got going on, what tasks are happening, what's upcoming. It shows me the key phases on the project, and also what issues, what risks, and what documents we might have. And we can drill down into any of these. So if there are any key risks, clicking on that, we'll open up. Yes, there are. There are two key risks on this project. And again, we could drill down and see further information on there if we wanted to. So all projects have a project site, and project sites are templated. So you could have a template for a Agile project, as I'll show you, and a template for a Prince 2 project. Or you could have a building project versus an IT project template. So let's go back and show you the principle of that. So, project details. and we go back to our projects, what we'll do is we'll create a project from scratch just to demonstrate the process. So under new, what we can see here is we've got a couple of templates, agile prints, and actually we've got a marketing campaign template as well. Maybe we want to create a prints 2 type project. So my template will consist of standard tasks and milestones and phases for a prints 2 project. And I'll have a templated SharePoint site, which will have storage for risks and issues, and project documents and so on. So we click on that. This could have workflow attached. I haven't got any workflow on this particular example, but this could easily be a form. I'm going to build a university. That's probably a little bit big to take on today, but university build. This could be a form that has a set of business case information in it that I then save, and it goes for various levels of authorization. And the forms can expand as well. So you could start with just a little bit of information. It gets first stage approval. We fill in more information, so on and so forth. So we'll click save. What's going to happen now is a lot of processing is going to go on in the background, and the system is actually going to start to create for me from, it's going to take the project template for a prints 2 project and create that project plan for me. And it's also going to take the project site for a prints 2 project, so the areas for document storage, risks, issues, and so on and so forth, and create a document site for me. It's also going to assign me access to this project so that I can actually carry on moving forward from this point onwards. So, any second now. We'll finish creating the project, and what you'll see is the template plan. So here you can see we've got direct, if you're familiar with prints 2, it's just an example, but if you're familiar, directing, starting, so on and so forth, so this is the key stages of prints 2. We've got key milestones and tasks within there, and what is really nice about this, and why I really, one of the reasons I love projects online, is that I don't actually have to go near Microsoft Project on the desktop if I don't want to. If I've got a detailed project and lots of tasks and complexity, then for me, Microsoft Project on the desktop is a great way forward. So what do I mean by that? This project plan I've got here, I can edit it either in the web browser, which I'm about to do, or in Microsoft Project. So there's a choice there. So let me demonstrate an example of that. So I'm just editing now 10 days, and what you'll see is it's updated, put in a task for 10 days, and showed me the changes. So I can edit online, or I could open the same project in Microsoft Project and edit in Microsoft Project. As I said, if you've got large detailed plans, Microsoft Project is very quick to do, and if you're familiar with it, that's fine. But for those projects and for those users who maybe aren't familiar with Microsoft Project on the desktop, but need a tool to plan and manage projects, smaller projects, this online planning tool that I'm in now is absolutely fantastic. It's exactly the same engine at the back. It just gives me a simpler user interface. So I can edit tasks, I can add tasks, I can delete tasks, change dependencies, and assign resources, all of the things you would expect. So I would complete my project planning, I would save that, and that would be my project set up into the system. Good. Also, in the background, as I said, it would have created the project site, so if we go to the project site, just to show you that. There you can see, this is the template for this particular type of project, our quality register, our risk register. Maybe we need to create a new risk with this one. So we'll add a new risk. And it's funding approval. And then these are, again, standard criteria that you'd expect. We're going to accept that and so on and so forth. I won't fill in the entire form, but these are standardized across our entire database. What that means is when we look at risks across every project, we've got the same form and the same information. So let's just save that back into the system, so funding approval. And going back to the project, clearly I can store my documents and so on and so forth within the site as well. So we're back in the university build. Alongside some of this standard information, there might be additional complementary information that we want to fill in. So if we look at our project details, added the description, but also we can use this tool for producing our status reports. So this is functionality that we've configured to show you the art of the possible. But what I could do is fill in my actions next period, need to work harder, changes many, so on and so forth. And I could fill in the entire amount of information here. I'm not going to do that just for speed, but I could do that. And I could save that information. And then what I will show you very quickly, and I'll show you for this project, but then I'll show you for one that we've already got in, which has a bit more detail. From the information that we've filled in, the project manager has updated his standard information. So from that information, we can then produce a highlight report. So this will start to show us what's actually going on the project. And this can be produced at any point in time. Typically, organizations might produce this on a monthly basis. But this hasn't got much detail in, so forgive me. I will show you one that has. But what you can start to see is the information I've typed in earlier is appearing in here. Let's close that and check that project back into our system. Because what we will do is just to highlight that a little bit further, we will go back to our overview and just quickly, what I want to show you is just for the acquisition target analysis, so the project we were looking at earlier, just because I know it does have some more data in it, I'll show you the project highlight report for that one. And what you can see there is it's picking up key performance indicators, it's picking up the latest and greatest information for the project manager. What it's also doing is pulling off the key milestones from the project plan. So maybe these are your key deliverables, your stage ends maybe. And also pulling off the key highlighted issues and risks from those issues and risks forms I showed you earlier. So what you're seeing is that as long as we're updating our data, we're updating it in one place and we're sharing it so that we don't have to start rekeying, reporting becomes so much easier. Good. I'm going to go away from the sort of centralized project overview and just talk about some of the prioritization and selection at this stage. And then we'll come back in and we'll start to look again at maybe some of the reporting and also some of the information on resource management as well, which, as I said, is a key driver for most organizations. So, portfolio prioritization and selection. I've got some screens configured to show you this just to allow us to show it in such a short period of time. What we have here is our strategy. So as a business, as a university, either departmentally or centrally within your educational establishment, the first step in this process is to state what our strategic objectives are. So for this organization, its strategic objectives are expanding into new markets, improve product quality, so on and so forth. So yours will be different, but you will have a list of strategic objectives. Each strategic objective will have some level of detail against it. So I'm just opening up a form, a little description, but the important piece is some qualification or impacts. Because what we're going to do is, when we create a new idea, we're going to align it to each of these strategic objectives. And each one we do, we're going to say how it aligns. So if it doesn't align, this is the statement. If it strongly aligns, well, we as an individual constructing the business case, if we believe it strongly aligns, what we're saying is we believe we're going to grow our revenue from between 1 million and 3 million. And that's going to be recorded. So clearly, we're being very objective with our statements and not subjective. So step one is we come up with a list of all of our strategic objectives. Step two is we actually start to prioritize those. So if we go to our driver prioritization, we've got a number of prioritizations, but if we take a look at the executive consensus, what that does is it gives us, this shows me the summary of our drivers and how they're prioritized together. So we've gone through what's called a pairwise comparison, which I'll show you in a minute. And what that process has done is allowed us to rank all of our drivers against each other, because what we want to know is, out of those drivers, what's the most important and what's the not so important drivers. And that's done via a pairwise comparison, which hopefully I've opened that one. Yeah. So this is the pairwise comparison. You would gather the key decision makers for your strategic objectives together, and the questions would be asked, so for expanding into new markets, how does that rank against each of the other strategic objectives? So you can see we had 7 in all, so this one, how does it rate against the other 6? Is it, in this case, it's much more important than customer satisfaction, much more important than employee satisfaction, as important as increasing market share, and so on. So we go through that process for each of our strategic objectives or drivers. So you see we start off with 1 to 6, we go to 1 to 5, 1 to 4, I won't go through all the screens, but you can get the principle that essentially we're ranking every objective against every other one in order to come up with that weighted list that I showed you earlier. So step one is we've got our weighted drivers. Step two is we would have put in play all of our new projects and existing projects. This tool set will run not just against the projects you're thinking of undertaking, but also it will run against all the live projects as well. So this is where I'm saying not just an annualized process, this is a live process as new ideas come up. So what does it allow us to do? Well, what it does is it shows us, it allows us to do cost optimization and resource optimization. I'm going to start off by showing you a cost optimization. So we've got a whole group of projects. So this is my list of projects. And we've got a amount of money that's going to cost. So for each business case, we've said how much money is involved. And it's added it all up. And it says that to do all of our projects, we're going to need £19,860,000 to complete them. So that's great. However, our university actually only has £10 million because we haven't got the funding we expected. We've got £10 million. So based on that, what projects can we do? So we click on the calculate, and what the system will do is it will weight every single project against every other project. How much benefit are they going to deliver against those strategic drivers? Because remember, for every project, we've said how it aligns to every driver. And we know how important each driver is. So what the tool has done is it's gone through and said, for £10 million, you can deliver 71% of that benefit that you wanted to, which is actually pretty good considering we've halved our money but not halved our benefit. And what the tool set has done is it's determined that these are the projects we should do and these are the projects we shouldn't do. And typically what you find out is they're either very expensive projects as you expect or they deliver very little benefit. And in most cases, they're a combination of the two. So this is really useful. It gives us a completely objective list of what are the things we need to do as a business. So all things being equal, this is the set of projects we would then commit to and undertake. However, not all projects are equal, as we know. And so what might happen is that we might have in our university a compulsory statutory project. So we might have to undertake our apparel ERP upgrade. Doubtful, but we might have to. So we're going to force that in. And maybe we're also going to say that as a business, we have to get a customer feedback portal, which is fairly good, I guess. So we're going to force that in. So these might be our mandatory projects. And so because of that, we're going to have to run an analysis again. So we're going to do a recalculation. So same amount of money, but we're having to do a couple of projects, therefore what's the impact? And you can start to see here that this is the process we can go through on a more regular basis as new projects come in. Let's force them in, see what the potential impact is. Well, what that's done to our overall benefit delivery is, for the same amount of money, we've got £10 million, we can actually only deliver 64% compared with the 70% that we were delivering, 77% we were delivering earlier. So it's a big, big change. And that's because I forced in a couple of projects that are quite expensive but don't deliver much value. And you can run this as many times as you want. But what's also really nice is that you can actually save each of these as scenarios so that you can have your scenario as you are today. Someone comes along and says, we need to do these three things, undertake a new scenario, save that scenario, compare the two together, go back to the decision makers and say, okay, if you want to do it, that's fine. You can't do these things. Are you happy with that? Yes, great. We're all on the same playing field. So that's cost prioritisation. Same principle occurs for resource, which is good as well, because clearly cost is not always the only factor. Sometimes it's the availability of people as well. So we're going to go to our resource analysis. And what this has done is it's already gone through the scenario based on the number of resources we have, the timings of the projects. It's worked out that as a business, we can only deliver 58% because we just haven't got enough people. So that's fine, but what would be nice to do is to maybe hire some additional people this year, and we've got a budget maybe for 5 additional hires. Let's run this same scenario again. So we're going to recalculate with our new hires. And we're going to run every scenario behind the scenes, as you can imagine. And with 5 hires, we can up our delivery, which is great. So we're now delivering 77% of the benefit, which is fantastic. But what would be really nice for me to know is what 5 resources does that mean? So it's run a scenario. Clearly, it knows what it's doing, or we hope it does. And so what it's going to do is produce me a report. And what this report is going to show us is, bear with me, there we are. Our 5 resources, well, we need 1 marketing person, 1 procurement, 2 product engineers, and a trainer. And we need them between these dates, and this is the amount of work they've got to do. So again, great at the start of the year, or in your budgeting process, clearly you do that before the start of the year, in order to work out what are your future resource requirements. Behind the scenes here, clearly, we've got a database with role-based resourcing put in place, which is good. So that gives you an overview of portfolio prioritization selection. We've talked about projects, viewing projects. We've talked about reporting, collaboration with team members on the project sites. What I want to do is just swap back again and look at a little bit of resourcing. I'm trying to leave a little bit of time, by the way, just in case you have got questions. Trying to leave a little bit of time towards the end for questions. So let's take a look at resources. So we have a resource database. One thing I haven't made clear actually here is that there's complete integration with your Exchange and your Link solutions as well if you're using them. So you can see here all the instant presence information you'd expect is all there, which is great. Now, what I wanted to do is show you their database. So we've got a list of resources and we've got a list of roles, and our resources in this view have been grouped into roles, so we grouped them by developer and so on. If I scroll down this list, I want to get to my project managers, so let's scroll down. And what you can see here, primary role, project manager. I have, within my organization, 4 project managers, Andy, Chris, Duncan, and myself, and a generic resource project manager. So the reason for this is that when we're looking at our future workload, we won't necessarily know Andy or Chris or Duncan or Ivan are going to do it, but what we do know is we need a project manager. And we want to be able to take that into account when we look at our capacity. We want to know what the requirements are where we've already assigned the people, plus all the requirements where we haven't yet managed to find someone to do the work. So that's the type of information I'm after. I'm going to click on resource availability. And what this is going to do is just build a graph for me, showing me for those 5 resources I've selected what their availability is, where are they being used, and what does that mean to me. I might be a team leader or line manager interested in this, but equally you can give access to this type of information to whatever resources you want. Good. So it's pulled together. There's quite a lot of resource data. It's pulled that all together for me. We're looking at from now onwards, so that's what this graph is showing me. The black line is the availability of my 4 resources. Project manager clearly is generic, and therefore there's no such thing. It's just a generic resource. So for 4 people, this is our availability over time. This is around the May bank holidays. We've obviously put in some scheduling there. Now, each of these columns is showing the requirement. And very clearly, it doesn't take a rocket scientist, I guess, to understand that if this is in excess of that black line, it's very unlikely to happen. So what we can immediately see here is the project management workload is well and truly above our capacity. It's only in the latter half of, in May, that we start to get closer to the reality of being able to undertake this. And it's color-coded, so we can see the generic resource requirements. We can take those off. Those aren't even resourced yet. So if we take those off and apply that change, we'll still see that clearly, even with those resources which have been assigned with named individuals, we can't do that work. And if we take this and delve in a little bit further, which as a team leader I probably would want to, we can maybe look at Andy, who's blue, and let's take a look at Andy and what is Andy up to. Well, Andy's got absolutely no chance of completing this workload because he's well and truly nearly 2.5 times, 3 times overloaded. Next step would be as a team leader or line manager clearly is to understand why, and if we delve down into the detail, we can see that he's on he's on the Dynamics CRM, the Office 365, and the 3D printer development. So he's project managing 3 projects all at the same time, all of which require a full-time project manager. So I now need to resolve this. So as a team lead, I can start to speak to the project managers, hire additional resource, look at my total capacity, and start to make some real business decisions. And resources are assigned either within Microsoft Project or in the web-based planning, or indeed, we can actually keep things really simple. Some organizations really like this in that we can now have just a very simple resource spreadsheet against each project. So rather than saying John's required on these tasks, we could just say that we need John for full-time for 6 weeks, or we need a project manager full-time for 10 weeks. So we can have our resourcing at any level, which is again, really, really beneficial to organizations with differing maturities. Conscious of time, and I've still things to show you, but I'm going to move quickly on to some reporting. Just to give you an idea, we've talked about the highlight reports, great way of looking at what's going on in your business. We've got some reports here, issues and risks, so we can look across the portfolio, all the issues and all the risks. I won't show those. What I will show is some of the dashboards. So here we have a project dashboard. This is using Excel services. So this is the principle behind this is it's constructed in Excel, saved into the online environment, and then utilized against the data. So you can create your own ones of this. This is an example to show you the art of the possible. It's just building. And what this is doing is it's showing me my work or effort by customer, by program, what my cost curves look like, and what my effort curves look like. And then there's some performance information as well if we were to scroll over to the right. So you can start to see for each of the project's key performance information as well. What's really nice about these are interactive. So this is using a bit of technology from Microsoft called Slicers. If we want to focus in on, instead of all 3 programs, we just want to look at program 003, just clicking on that. Automatically updates all of the graphs for me. So that's a project dashboard. We've got an example, same principle, a resource dashboard, which I will show you as well. And again, very easy to understand. We've got our demand by key roles. So this is our generic resource roles, demand versus capacity, and so on. And again, this is interactive, so we can start to filter just generics or not, and so on. And you can create any number. We've just created in this solution a couple of dashboards to show you examples of what's possible. I'm just going to finish off with a couple of other views. This is just an app. This is an app. This is a type of solution that so we as an organization have created. It just brings, active with your risk management, what this is doing is it's pulling the risks across from every single resource list. Every single risk list in the system and displaying them in a grid so that we can see that top right, these are where the real areas we should focus on, not so much on the left-hand area. And we have one risk that is, if it happens, it's catastrophic and it's almost certain to happen. So we might want to see a little bit more information. So this is on this particular project. This is the issue. We can drill down into more information, but we can also grab hold of Andy and have a little conversation with him because, again, we've got the instant presence showing on this tool set. And then another app that we've created to show value. The same resources we saw earlier, what we're going to do is just build up some capacity views. So this is my project managers. We're looking at this day by day. This is showing that they're overloaded. Getting into the detail, we've got more detail. We're showing that, in fact, if we get rid of primary role, and then start to look maybe at Chris Haslett. We can then see, what is he doing? Well, he's on 3D printer development. He's also on SharePoint development. Who are the owners of these projects? Well, Teo's running one of those. So I can now communicate with Teo and say, you've overloaded the resource. You shouldn't be doing that. We need to reassign to a different resource. So the principle behind these added values is that we can enhance the tool set very easily. But also the other thing I wanted to demonstrate there is the fact that instant presence, if incorporated throughout the tool, really does add value. So if you're using Link, Exchange, Project Online, then you really have got a lot of additional value as well. Good. I've kind of crammed in an awful lot into a very short period of time, and I know I speak quite fast. Hopefully that has given a flavor. What I want to do is just actually go back to the slides quickly. So we'll just move back, if you bear with me. So hopefully you're seeing the slideshow again. What I will do is just scroll through. These are the slides that will be made available. So this is great. It can give you a view of some of the functionality. What are the benefits? Well, there are lots and lots. Apart from the fact that you've got all the functionality I've showed you, some of the things that are really great is because it's in the cloud and it's online, it's on Microsoft's 365 infrastructure, you don't have to set up lots of servers, load lots of software, and wait a period of time to get started. It is there completely ready for you to go as of now. It's easy to get your users using the tool. What do I mean by that? It's familiar technology. So if you're used to using Excel, you're used to using a web browser, this is the type of technology that you'll be familiar with. It allows you to have all of the PPM functionality. Things to add on that, we have organizations who have just adopted, for example, the strategic objectives piece of the tool. All of the tools there, but the piece that really they wanted to do was prioritize their projects. That was number one. Others who've just gone with timesheets because what they wanted to do was collect actual hours. And then others who have gone for more standard functionality around project control, views of all the projects, and storage of documents, issues, and risks, and so on. So there's a range of use cases. And it does grow with your organization. Now, I know actually within universities this is even better in that it's part of your subscriptions anyway. But what's nice is you can implement the functionality to the user community that are capable of using it on day one and then grow as time goes on. I think that's about it, except for next steps, which is important clearly. We will send through, as long as people have registered, which Mark will hopefully confirm for me. If you haven't, if you want to email Mark or your Microsoft account manager, or indeed my email address is here, I'm really happy to take communication. I will send through the slides if you would like them. And then also there's the phone number for myself, and also web addresses for the company I work for. And we also have, actually, just a note, Project Server Plus is a pre-packaged solution that, again, seems to get a lot of traction in universities. It's packaged with the most common functionality and configurations and reports and training and assistance that you would want, packaged up for a fixed price, and it really gets you up and running quickly. So Project Server Plus is another thing maybe to look at. But we're very happy to support you further. If anyone's got any questions, I think we've probably still got just a couple of minutes. So if you've got any questions, do feel free to ask them, and hopefully Mark or I will be able to answer them.
Ivan, thank you very much. That was excellent. I learned an awful lot. So I really, really appreciate your time there. There's an awful lot of functionality and service that's provided in Project Online. So really, really grateful for your time and the effort you put into that. There's a question there from Sam Foster. He's asking how he could surface some summary type reports to a public web presence if it's not Microsoft-based.
The reports are available in Excel services or in SQL reporting services. Excel services, you can simply save Excel files if you want to. And SQL reporting services are great in that it allow you to email or send reports to various end sources in PDF or Word format. I guess PDF would be the one if you wanted to surface information.
Excellent. Thank you very much. So Sam, respond to that. This is to let our staff know that where they are up to in terms of projects and project outlines, titles, etc. So yes, thank you for that. That's excellent. Are there any more questions for Ivan before we complete this webinar?
Did everyone register with you, Mark, in order to get the slides? Or?
I've got a lot of registrations, but if you haven't registered formally and you've just dropped in because it was advertised on several forums, please send us your email address and we'll send over the slides and the links to you. Ivan, that was excellent. What's the kind of, in terms of getting things up and running, Ivan, how long typically to get things, given that the infrastructure is already in the cloud ring on our data center, how long before an organization could actually get started with this?
So if it's using something like a solution starter like Project Server Plus, it's entirely practical to be up and running in 30 days from start to finish. Mm-hmm. If it's a more configured to exact requirements and slightly out of the ordinary, then I would suggest 3 months. But really, it's a short timescale to get up and running with a tool like this.
Thank you. Excellent. That's really good. And in terms of general guides to get people more familiar with it, is there anything you could recommend?
So the Microsoft website does have a lot of information. If anyone really wants more conversations about it, the ideal next step would be to arrange a sort of one-on-one link demo or on-site demo where they can ask really detailed questions about their own particular ways of working.
Excellent. So just coming to the end of the time now, really. Any more questions for Ivan before we let him go? Thank you, Sam. I can see that, yes. You're standing in for Julie. That's excellent. I'll send some information over. Okay, well, if there are no more questions, we really appreciate your time today. Hopefully you found that useful. As I say, this is a module that's included in the Office 365 platform, free for staff and students. Please reach out to myself or to Ivan if you have any more questions or queries regarding this. We really appreciate it. Thank you very much for your time.
Great. Thank you very much. Ivan. And we're really happy if we do speak to share some of our experiences and contacts in some of the universities that are already on the solution.
Yes, that would be excellent if we get a use case and a case study.
We're just waiting for approval actually for one. So as soon as that's published, if we get a list of people who have attended, we'll make sure you get that, Mark, and it can be sent out.
Right. Okay. Excellent. That's tremendous, Ivan. Thank you so much again. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks very much, everyone.
Just answering Ray's question there, can we use the recording to show students? Yes, certainly. I'll make this available, and you're more than happy to show this to students as well.